This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the NBA Team Podcast for part two of our 2015 NBA Draft Preview here on PlaceToBeNation.com. I am your co-host, Andrew Reese, joined by Adam Murray.
How's it going? We are part two. Let's go, 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 go.
Oh, you're on the go. You're kind of like the Warriors. You're on the
We are on a roll. We just came back from commercial break. Let's keep it going.
You know, like, well, you're the master of the commercial breaks at your station, right?
Yes, sir.
So you know how to slow it down or how to chop it up. But no, we didn't want to chop up this draft preview, but we had to talk so much about so many players that we realized we were going a little bit long. So we're going to be giving the people what they want, and we're going to give people two parts for a special edition for this NBA draft preview. Let's just kind of talk about our predictions. These are just Adam and I's predictions for the NBA draft order for the first half of the NBA draft first round. At number one, the Timberwolves take Karl-Anthony Towns. At number two, the Lakers take Jahlil Okafor. At number three, the 76ers take D'Angelo Russell out of Ohio State. At number four, the Knicks take Emmanuel Mudiay, the point guard. The Magic at number five, they're the first one to go four, and they go with Kristaps Porzingis. At number six, the Kings take Willie Cauley-Stein out of Kentucky. At number seven, the Nuggets take Justice Winslow out of Duke. At number eight, the Pistons take Mario Hezonja, the next foreigner. And then at number nine, the Hornets take Devin Booker from Kentucky. At number 10, the Heat take Stanley Johnson out of Arizona. At number 11, the Indiana Pacers take Cameron Payne out of Murray State. At number 12, the Jazz take Sam Decker out of Wisconsin. At number 13, the Suns take Miles Turner from Texas. And then at number 14, the Oklahoma City Thunder took Jerian Grant from Notre Dame. So here we go, and the number 15 pick, shockingly, is the Atlanta Hawks. You know how they got this pick, Adam?
Traded with Brooklyn for Phil Johnson?
The swap. Yep, they had the right to swap. And so the Nets were going to lose no matter what, even when they made the playoffs, which is ironic because the Nets and the Hawks played each other in the playoffs. The Hawks eliminated them in six games. But the Hawks didn't make the finals either. They got swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Why did they get swept?
Because they relied too much on the three. They had no size. They had no depth. Okay. And just too one-dimensional.
They were third to last in the NBA in rebounding. They need size in the worst way. You agree?
Yes, however, we will probably disagree where they go here.
Okay. Mine here will be – I think I'm going to throw you for a loop. I'm going to go with Kevon Looney from UCLA because of the offensive rebounding.
Whereas I think Damari Carroll has played himself out of Atlanta because somebody's going to pay him mid-level.
Okay.
So they need a quick replacement for the three, so I think they might just go Kelly Oubre.
Okay, who's also a three-point shooter. So he kind of
allegedly.
He's
allegedly a three-point shooter, but, you know, he's just that, you know. I'm like, oh, he's like Xavier Henry and the other Kansas guy was one and done, and just they're going to turn the corner now, right? They're going to turn the corner, and some people just might just never happen.
Yeah, he's like the next really good small forward left out of the batch that we've had. We already have Winslow, Hezonja, Stanley Johnson, Decker. They're gone. There's a couple more there still. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Justin Anderson, but they fit different needs. Oubre is kind of a shooter who has the athleticism, so I'll cop out and go with that one there, even though I think rebounding, they desperately, desperately need it.
They desperately need it, but they don't have – if you're losing one of your starters, because they're going to get – you know, they're going to re-sign.
They're going to sign somebody, and they're going to bring back Cephalosha.
Cephalosha is coming back. They're going to re-sign why am I blanking on his
Millsap.
Name? They're going to re-sign him at all costs.
It's Carroll that might be gone.
So, yeah, then would you want to back up to Millsap, or do you want – we need somebody to potentially come in and start? So,
well, I don't think he'll be a backup to Millsap because, remember, we saw Millsap playing small forward trying to guard LeBron. at times. So it's not completely out of the question that we'll be able to see two bigs on the court with Millsap and Horford. You know, you might see Millsap, Horford, and then a center. But that means that the Hawks would be situating themselves where they would have to draft a center this high. And the ones I see here are like Dakari Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, and Robert Upshaw from Washington. So I don't know if those are good fits. You know, no, Kaminsky might be a good fit, but he's not going to help with the rebounding. He's going to help with the shooting. And they don't really need that much help with the shooting because they already got all their shooters. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, so that's why I think, you know.
They have two second-round picks, the number 50 pick, and then they have the number 59 pick. Let me do a little bit of detective work to see how they got two at the same time. They got the number 50 pick from the Raptors in the Lou Williams trade, so that's how that happened. What do you see here with those two?
They need to go sort of backup bench, backup point guard. Who's really left in that?
What about Kiefer
Sykes? Chason, huh?
Kiefer Sykes from Green Bay, the small point guard with the dunking ability.
Okay.
Just I'll go him at – I'll say 59 because I could see him going second to last. But what about number 50?
Go Euro.
Go Euro. And
Euro. No, how about Brandon Ashley?
Brandon Ashley, the big man out of Arizona.
So. Yeah, he's, they need a big man, so.
Okay. And, yeah, I could see him dipping that low. It's not impossible. So, that one, you know, Ashley seemed really good, actually his sophomore year, and then he broke his foot. You know, that was the year they had Aaron Gordon. And then this just past season, they had Stanley Johnson, and it was him, Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and then T.J. McConnell, the point guard, and they were really, really good team. The problem was they played Wisconsin in the Elite Eight both times, and they couldn't beat them because of Kaminsky and Decker. So, yeah, Ashley might be a good fit there. Let's move on to your Boston Celtics. Shockingly, they're not in the lottery at all.
Yeah, they overachieved. They're all over the place. And problem is they need a superstar, which they're not going to get at 15 mm-hmm. or 16.
They need rebounding, and they need shot-blocking presence. I think Robert Upshaw at Washington is a perfect fit.
I think that's too high for them. A name they have has been linked to them for a little bit now up here was Bobby Portis.
Okay, the shooting big out of Arkansas.
Yes, they okay. are. You know, it looks like a poor man's Kevin Garnett.
Okay, so you want to go with Portis here? You know,
that's the word is they sort of like him.
Mm-hmm. I liked him at Arkansas. You know, I'm from SEC country, and I watched a lot of SEC basketball between Kentucky, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, and all them. And when it comes to Portis, yeah, he's the real deal. You know, as a scorer, he is. You know, he's got a mid-range game, so you have to honor his shot, and he's got enough. He's got enough girth and he's got enough muscle to really bruise you inside, and they do need some help there. So Portis might be a good fit. My problem with Portis is that there were moments during games where it seemed like he wasn't asserting himself, and I think that might be a problem under Brad Stevens. He's got to play hard all the time under Stevens because that's what he asks for. If you don't play hard, you won't play, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing with him that I worry about. Then they also have the 28th overall pick. Let me do a little thing here and see what happened with that one. They got that pick from the Clippers in the Doc Rivers trade. Ah, wow. Okay, so what do they do there?
That's where you could sort of you could either go, you know, the your Upshaw from Washington, or you go Christian Wood.
You think Upshaw – if Upshaw goes that low, I'd see it, but I don't think he's going to go that low. So I'll agree with you on Christian Wood. I think Wood will be that low.
Okay.
But I think Upshaw will be gone by then.
It's one of those, you know, you could just sort of swing for the fences type. You have a, you know, second chance. And then there are two later picks.
It's yeah, they got just the 33 pick they got in a trade that involved Jordan Crawford, Tony Douglas, and Marshawn Brooks. Wow. That must have been in 2014. So what do you see there at number 33? That's only five picks after this one.
Yeah, you already mentioned we already do Jarrell Martin, or you think he's going in the first?
I think he's going in the first. I think he'll be gone.
Yeah, we mentioned McCullough's gone already.
No, McCullough. Yeah, he is. You are right. He is gone. Yes. What about Rakeem Christmas?
I guess Rakeem Christmas.
I guess Rakeem Christmas. That's gonna be your player, you know. Because anytime it's a Celtic, it's your guy.
Well, yeah. The problem, you know, the thing is, they're not gonna have four picks on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
For a young team, they're not going to add four more young bodies. They're going to, you know, get veterans before they get, because that was a problem. It was also lack of veteran leadership. You're not going to put, you know, you're not going to see four. And I'm, you know, maybe I'd be surprised if you see two.
Yeah, but they do have a few free agents there with Brandon Bass and Jonas Jerebko and Will Bynum. And then you don't know with Jay Crowder, he might leave. So there's no guarantee that some of those other guys on roster will stay. They do. You are right. They do have a lot of guarantees already next year, like between Isaiah Thomas, Jared Sullinger, Avery Bradley, sadly, Gerald Wallace, Marcus Smart, Evan Turner, Kelly Olynyk, James Young, Tyler Zeller. So they, yeah, you're right. They don't have that many roster spots they have left to fill. They have one more at number 45. What do you see?
I don't know. Vince Hunter?
Okay, Vince Hunter. The big man, the power forward out of UTEP. So they're going with a lot of size here. You know,
because that's what they need.
Yeah, I mean, their guards do need a little bit of help. I mean, and I got to bet that they're going to use one of those picks to take a guard, but we'll just take a chance and go all bigs here. Now we're talking about another team that I feel like is in a really cush position, and because they overachieved, and that was the Milwaukee Bucks. What do the Bucks really need the most? Now, they already made the trade where they basically dumped Ilyasova. They brought in some veteran leadership at Caron Butler.
Caron Butler's getting cut. I think he's all, yeah, he's probably going to get bought out. And then the other one, Sean Williams.
That was just a non-guaranteed contract.
That's just a, you know, contract filler.
A throw-in, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, what do they need?
They need shooting, for sure.
You know, because don't forget, they're getting
Jabari Parker back.
Jabari Parker back.
Mm-hmm.
So they need shooting, but also, at this point, Lyle, did he get, he's still falling.
He's there, you know.
This be a time to snap him up, really, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, Lyle's at Kentucky, at this point, at 17, would be a bit of a steal. I do think he's overrated when it comes to lottery portion, but if you get him three picks outside of the lottery, then yeah, I think that'd be okay.
Well, who are you thinking then?
I think shooting's important here, so RJ Hunter wouldn't be a bad fit. And then if you needed another point guard, a guy like Tyus Jones wouldn't be a bad fit.
See, the thing about, from all I heard, is RJ Hunter's been falling from.
I think it's because he doesn't have point guard skills. And
he doesn't have really any skills other than just shooting, and I think 17 might be a little high just for...
Yeah, they fell in love with the story with his dad, you know, in the tournament, but, you know...
Yeah, then it moved on, and then they fell in love with five other players.
And they also looked at his three-point field goal percentage his last year in college, and it was very low, after a strong one is the year before. So they're not sure how good of a three-point shooter he really is.
That's also deceptive because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a small school guy and you're the shooter, they're just going to double and triple team you every time. So
exactly.
Well, you know, you watch the highlights. None of his shots were easy.
Mm-hmm.
None of them.
Okay.
So, you know, it might be a little deceptive, but I think it might be just, you know, you take somebody who's falling.
Okay, so let's go with Lyles here. They also have the number 46 pick. What do you see for the 46th pick?
I think it's going to have to be a stash.
A stash?
They don't have many openings.
I think they need a little bit more size, so let's go with Nikola Milutinov from Serbia. A center.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. Well, it doesn't sound good because I just butchered his last name, but Milutinov, I believe, is how you pronounce it. I don't have really any Serbian expertise when it comes to language speaking, so we'll go with that. And then we're going to move on to the Houston Rockets. Now, they need a point guard badly, just a point guard that can handle the ball. I already heard a rumor that they're promising Tyus Jones out of Duke, who you and I both like, Mr. Apple Valley.
Yeah, we both said, like, his basement is Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not going to fall below 21. So
between 18 and 20 – between about 16 and 21 is decent for him. That's his
spot. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you like Tyus Jones here?
Oh yeah, it's a great fit. He, you know, the only problem is he's just 5'11".
Now that leaves DeLon Wright as the last one picked, and that would surprise some people.
No, it doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
You know, again, you know, how much can we really expect from Darrell Wright's brother? Mm-hmm. Just a little.
But you can't always say that. I mean, it's like, I'm pretty sure there's some examples where somebody had a brother. Like Kareem Rush was way better than Jerron Rush.
Yeah, but the thing with DeLon Wright is he's just tall. Mm-hmm. He's just a Sean Livingston, post-surgery Sean Livingston.
Yeah.
He's not like, well, he's explosive potential, 6'6", Sean. He's just the...
Yeah, he's not that explosive, not DeLon Wright. Tyus Jones is, like I keep saying, he's got short arms, he has no lift, but man, he just makes plays. He just makes plays, and he also gets his teammates involved, you know, and he doesn't turn the ball over a lot.
No, but he would fit perfectly. He doesn't have to be the go-to guy.
Yeah, and especially if Beverly leaves in free agency, which is possible. So,
it is possible, but who knows?
Okay, the Rockets also have the number 32 pick. What do you see for the Rockets at number 32? Right outside of the first round.
Who's going to slide or rise?
You know how they got that pick? They actually got both of them in trades. The number 18 pick they got from my Pelicans in the Omer Sheik trade. And then the number 32 pick they got from the Knicks in the Marcus Camby sign and trade in 2012. Good job by the Knicks. somebody that might get out of that first round.
Sherrell Martin?
Yeah. Might be a good fit. I mean, look at what Clint Capella did for him. You know, I think Jarrell Martin could do the same thing for him. You know, or like a Terrence Jones, he could play backup to Terrence Jones.
Maybe a you don't want to draft two point guards.
No. Jarrell Martin might wind up there. I could concede to that.
Jarrell Martin or the kid from Virginia.
Justin Anderson's going to be gone by then.
Okay.
Yeah, I am convinced he'll be first round. So that'll wrap up the Rockets, and now we're going to talk about the Washington Wizards, who have the number 19 overall pick. You know, Paul Pierce, there's no guarantees he'll be back. So, you know, and then you had some problems at the point guard spot after John Wall broke his wrist. Do you see a point guard here? Or any?
No,
guard?
Not this high. I think they're going to go maybe – I think they have to go size and maybe like a Frank Kaminsky or a your boy Kevon Looney.
You know, Kaminsky's a stretch five and like kind of like Channing Frye. I think that could be a good fit there because they need a shooter at the center's position. So Kaminsky's a good fit.
Even if I try to give you Looney.
Yes.
The whole point was to set up for Looney. Be like, that's your guy. You've been calling for him forever.
No, I mean, Looney's got the potential to slide, though. I know some people have him in the lottery because of the rebounding skills and because of the fact that he can switch between the three and the four. But, no, you got me sold on Kaminsky for some reason. We saw a lot of him in college, you know, at Wisconsin. He was the Naismith Player of the Year. What did you see out of Frank Kaminsky?
Stretch five. That's
But what was his skill like outside of the shooting? I mean, was he good off the dribble? Did he have an ability to grab rebounds off of misses and do all those kind of things?
No, because he's just a big. He has, you know, all his different things. He has a jump shot. He has the size, but just on defense, he's just a slow 7-footer.
Yeah. Now he does have a bit of a drop step, and he does have a spin move, which can be hard to guard. If you can ask Jahlil Okafor that in the national title game, he had nightmares trying to guard.
Yeah, he has some focus, but as for like a defensive like rebounder, no, I don't see that. I didn't see that from him.
But they're not going to need that because you got Gortat and Nene.
Exactly. So that's why I think that might be a nice fit. But
and then they have the number 49 pick. You see maybe a backup guard just to help out John Wall in case he gets hurt again? You want to go with the guy that we from Brazil we talked about, George DePaula?
No, I think I'll go higher than that. I was going to go with the kid from Boston College.
Olivia Hanlon?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with him. Now, I think he might go a little higher than that, too, but we'll just stick with Hanlon here. Because, like I said, in the second round, people drop fast. That's the one thing people don't realize when you try to do projected second rounds before the draft. You have no idea. Like, some people who are picked, like, who people think are going to go 32nd, they go, like, 58th.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we keep saying all these people are going to go higher. Mm-hmm. That we haven't, there are no playoff teams in the top of the second round.
Okay.
Other than Houston at 32, everybody is pretty much the same as the first round. So it's just like, well, where is George Apollo go? He'll go high second.
And if you have one in mind, you might have to talk me into it. If not, he might drop a little later. So, no, but it's a process, and we're getting there. The next pick we have is the Toronto Raptors. This is their only pick at number 20. They have a lot of needs, shockingly.
George Apollo. Double down on the Brazilian. Triple down.
Are you serious?
You got no. they have the problem with Toronto is just, you know, just interrupted. They have no identity. They need strength. They need an edge. They need size.
I think Robert Upshaw fits that. He measured out almost in the same like measurements as Hassan Whiteside and DeAndre Jordan. He was also the leader in the nation in blocked shots before he got kicked off the team at Washington. So he's a little bit of a crazy personality.
He got kicked off two teams. That's the problem.
Yeah, Fresno State was the other one, right? So
yes.
So he's a bit of a wild card, if you will. But I think I could take a chance here, just based on the size and the ability to block shots, and he could play immediately.
Well, if we're talking about size, what about Kevon Looney?
Now you're going with potential versus the guy that was able to get it done, you know, his freshman year on the court.
Yeah, but he got it done, but, you know, he got kicked off twice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's, you know.
Let's go with Looney, because if it goes with talent, then, you know, I wanted to try to talk myself into Upshaw. Maybe I could do it with Dallas later. But, yeah, we'll go with Looney here. You like Kevon Looney at all?
He's like an oversized three.
Yeah, I agree. Now, he's not much of a shooter, though. I think he's got to work on that.
He reminds me of Lamar Odom, is the comparison I came out with.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might not be terrible with DeMar DeRozan and Terrence Ross there.
You need a rebounder there. You know, James Johnson was not, you know, dependable. Jonas Valanciunas he didn't get better this year, you know, and he's got to take that extra step in order to be elite and make the Raptors better. I still think they made the wrong move, and that was firing their coach. That's the thing that I thought they should have done in the first place. They needed a kick in the ass at the top in order to get those players to play better down the stretch of games. So, you know, that's one thing that Masai Ujiri still has left to do. But for now, if you're looking at just improved roster, then yeah, big, I think, is the best fit here for Toronto. So between Looney and Upshaw, yeah, Looney would be a good fit. Let's go now with the Dallas Mavericks at number 21. There's a good chance that they're going to lose a lot of players. They already kicked the curb. They kicked Rajon Rondo to the curb. I'm sorry about that. And then, you know, Tyson Chandler's a free agent, and then they've got a couple of other guys that are going to be on the market there. Monte Ellis has a player option. He might opt out. You got the same thing with Richard Jefferson, Charlie Villanueva, Amari Stoudemire. You like Upshaw here? I mean, they need their defense was so bad.
Their defense was so bad, but they also don't have a point guard now. All they have is...
I think they're going to try to sign one.
You don't see someone like a...
DeLon Wright?
DeLon Wright or the kid from Terry Rozier?
Rozier, we already have gone to the Lakers.
To the Lakers.
27.
How about, is this a spot for DeLon Wright?
Yeah. If he gets down to the Bulls, now you're thinking, okay, this guy really dropped. You know, so maybe DeLon Wright is a good spot there. So, yeah. Yeah, because do you think Wright's a little I can't believe I'm saying, he's a little like Rondo, you know, the ability to play defense and offense.
Yeah, and if you're going to have an undersized two, you might as well have an oversized one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd be a bit of an improvement over J.J. Barea in some ways, in some ways. You might be able to put more athleticism out there.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know, it's just my guess.
Yeah, the problem with that is if Monte is the point guard, you can't play DeLon right at the two. That's the one problem. He would only be a backup. You know, they can't be on the court at the same time unless Monte plays shooting guard, which he's capable of doing, but I think he's better off as a ball handler. This is exciting podcasting we're going.
I know, we've just grinded through screeching.
We're just trying
but
to.
It's just you just keep mentioning Upshaw. It's just like, yeah, he has the talent, but mm-hmm. which GM is going to be, I need this, you know, character headache.
I'm just going to keep mentioning his name until you bite. But, okay, and then they have the number 52 pick here. If they go with a guard here, they don't necessarily have to go with a point guard because, like I said, with Monte, you can use him there. What about Andrew Harrison at Kentucky?
Oh, we already have him going to Philly. Okay. How about your boy? Daniel Orton 2.0. Dakari Johnson.
Dakari, I think he'll be gone by then. I think he'll be gone late in the first round.
You think somebody's going to actually take him in the first round? We're running out of spots.
Yeah, I think Memphis might take him, just to give that away.
Okay.
No, I just don't think he's going to drop to 52 is the problem. You see, this is where it gets a little complicated with our draft, because, you know, we already kind of smushed in some of our spots. So at 52, if we go with the center, we might have to start kind of dipping in, and we might be having to talk about somebody like Satnam Singh from India, who might not even play, Alan Williams from UC Santa Barbara, for a big man. We already talked about Vince Hunter. What about Aaron White out of Iowa?
Okay.
Or Chris, you know what? How about this one? Chris Walker out of Florida. Mark
sure.
Cuban likes athletes.
Sure, it's second round. We're just tossing out names.
Okay. Well, it is a bit of a crapshoot. We ain't gonna lie. Chris Walker out of Florida, going number 52 there to Dallas. That'll be, you know, did they need some more athleticism on that team? You think is that one? Was another one of their problems?
Well, Dallas's problem was they half the team is old, half the team is, you know, the bench just wasn't. It's just too much turnaround every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dirk Nowitzki took major steps back.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard, you know, Tyson Chandler. Oh, he was good, but it doesn't help when the rest of your team's old.
Well, the problem with Dirk is that he's not the go-to option anymore. And when he is down the stretch of games, he's not good enough on defense to keep him on the court unless you're willing to have put out there a really bad defensive squad, which they were willing to do it many times. That's what cost them a lot of times. So, you know, if you want to improve their defense, I guess they're going to have to look elsewhere this year, maybe in free agency. I don't think they're going to find anything in the draft, unfortunately. And now we got the Chicago Bulls, obviously going through a number of changes. They fired Tom Thibodeau, hired Fred Hoiberg. We don't know what's going to be happening with some of their roster. You know, Jimmy Butler's a restricted free agent, but we're kind of anticipating he's going to get re-signed. Joakim Noah is going into the last year of his deal. He might get moved. There's rumors already floating out there. What do you see here with the Chicago Bulls?
They need to replace the very unsexy Mike Dunleavy.
Okay, so you need a small forward, but do you need, like, some athleticism at the small forward spot, or do you need, like, a 3D guy?
You could go either way, because you have Jimmy Butler, who sort of is just a jack-of-all-trades, and then, you know, everybody sort of hopes Derrick Rose is back on top, and he's sort of a jack-of-all-trades.
But what about Justin Anderson from Virginia? Shot 50% from the three-point line before he broke his wrist.
I was going to either mention him or Rashad Vaughn.
Okay, Rashad Vaughn, who's more of an athletic shooting guard. He did suffer an injury that took him out for the rest of the season, but he was playing pretty well for UNLV along with Christian Wood before his injury. So between Vaughn and Anderson, where are you – Where are you leaning?
I'll defer to your Anderson, but I'm saying those are two names that popped into my mind that could come in. And because, you know, McDermott did nothing.
Yeah.
Your boy from last year, like, oh, he's a perfect fit and played 4 minutes.
So, well, now, Justin Anderson, his size is okay. He wasn't as tall as people thought he was going to be when he came out of Virginia, but his athletic numbers at the combine were ridiculous. Like, he was jumping all over the gym. He had a great max vertical. He just measured out like an athlete, like an NBA athlete. So I think he might be able to help them out there, especially if Hoiberg wants to shoot a lot of those corner threes or try to create some of that separation or spacing. I think Anderson may be able to provide that because he's a small forward who can pop out and shoot a three. So I think he'll be able to help out there, even though Rashad Vaughn had me thinking for a second. That's their only pick. So the next one we have is another team with only one pick, and this is at number 23, and that's the Portland Trailblazers. Now, we already talked about our problems with the Portland Trailblazers is that we don't know anything that's going on because their whole roster seemingly is in flux over the next two years, huh? With Aldridge's free agency, Wes Matthews, that's this summer, and then next year you got Batum, and then Lillard's deal is coming up, and you just don't know what's going to happen cap wise with that team. You know, there's so many rumors out there about LaMarcus Aldridge. Nobody really knows the truth.
No, and that's the thing is you can't. You can technically keep them all, but do you want them all?
Is that going to win you a championship is the problem.
And I don't think that is. You still, and you've, you know, if you, you know, re-sign all of them, you've now officially maxed out your team under this new cap. Because, you know, Lillard and Aldridge are max players, but Batum is going to get a raise. So, also Lopez, he's a free agent.
Yeah, and I'll guarantee you if they re-sign LaMarcus Aldridge, they will not be able to re-sign Robin Lopez. I can almost guarantee it.
So now, you know, your team's taking steps backwards. It's just really how many steps back are they going to take?
Okay, I think their biggest need is a small forward because I think Batum is starting to kind of slip. Do you like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson out of Arizona? Even though offensively he's not very good, he can provide a lot of defense.
I was going to mention his name. His was one of the, you know, not where thankfully.
He's another, you know. He, like Anderson, he's a crazy athlete. He's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
Any small forward, pretty much good athlete.
I was either bring him up or Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell, I think that's a little high because I can almost see him dipping in the second round because his offensive game is so bad. I think that's the problem with Harrell. But I do think you might wind up seeing him in the second round or in the first round, but later, not here.
Okay.
You know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to shoot you down right there. But Hollis Jefferson, you know, offensively, he never really became what people thought he was going to be when he was a McDonald's All-American. Because anytime you see one of these McDonald's All-Americans, you immediately think, oh, yeah, this guy's going to score 20 points a game or 15 points a game. And Hollis Jefferson wasn't one of those players. He was one of those, like, grunt work type of defensive guys at the small forward position. But he was a really good athlete. I think he could really help out the Blazers off of the bench a lot more than they had from like Darrell Wright and Joel Freeland. I think he might be able to do a little bit more. So, you have any objections there or you had any other ideas?
No objections there. It's just another athletic body for them.
Okay.
Is it make it better, but how better are you going to get with 23?
Give me a prediction with the summer of who's going to be gone for the Blazers. You like one or two guys.
Oh, this is the this is a draft podcast. We're not doing free agents.
This is a bonus question.
Matthews might be gone, Aflalo might be gone. Lopez will be gone.
I think Lopez is gone, and I think Aldridge is gone. Yeah, I think you gotta rebuild your entire front court from there. That's what I think is going to wind up happening.
Either we gave, you know, two separate scenarios. Both look pretty bleak.
Yeah, one way or another, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because even if they keep everybody, you're not in a guaranteed position. That's the problem with Portland, like you said.
You keep everybody. Now, in 2 years, you're just going to be 2 years older.
Yes.
and you have nobody you can add to that.
Yeah, and all you have is one first round win to show for it, you know. And now we're going to be talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, who reached the NBA Finals, won the Eastern Conference, away from the finals from the Atlanta Hawks. They didn't have the best record in the East, but they probably were the best team in the East when you come to think of it. Obviously, injuries riddled them. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, LeBron James. Is LeBron James past his prime yet? Are we sure about that? I was convinced, and then I watched him in the finals, and I was like, maybe he's not. Maybe this is the best he's ever been.
No, because I'm standing at my, I had said initially he's at the tail end of his prime because he had to switch positions and change his game.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still be in your prime and then, tweak your game a bit to stay up there, but now you can't go back to being that small forward, being that athletic guy anymore. Now you're slowing down and you're still in your prime, but this is a tail end.
So you think a small forward at number 24 is like the worst fit ever for Cleveland?
No, because they have no bench.
Or do they move it because they need to keep that money around for Kevin Love and such?
No, because they have no, they're not going to say, the 24th pick isn't an expensive pick.
Nah, not really. Yeah, it could max out at about $5 million on the last year.
Yeah, that's you just need bodies in there, and their bench they barely used.
Okay.
Outside of Dalia Dova and Jones.
What about R.J. Hunter? Just as another shooter.
R.J. Hunter is a pick. The same with Rashad Vaughn, but. I was going to go just left field.
Uh-huh.
Let's say Love leaves. Would this be the Upshaw pick?
Well, with Mozgov there, I don't know if they need him. Unless LeBron, how LeBron is. He's a leader. He's able to convince guys. He can talk people into the room. He's able to convince guys to play hard. And if he gets his hands on – you remember what he did with J.J. Hickson? In Cleveland that year he was there, and then in Miami he did it with Birdman. Let's go with that. The thing with Cleveland is they're in a really good position because, they don't really have a dying need at one position. Even at shooting guard, if they keep Shumpert in free agency and with J.R. Smith, they're still in a good position. And then you have one of the best point guards in the league in Kyrie Irving, and then you got a really solid bench. Between Dellavedova and even Joe Harris. I don't think Joe Harris is a terrible player. That was one of their first round picks that they snatched up. So, I think they're going to be okay. Where you could pick any of the positions, I'm saying, and you'll be all right. You're not making a bad decision.
Well, the thing is they need a body. You can't just draft and stash.
Mm-hmm.
Because, whether they give $1 million to some veteran – or I gave some rookie. So I'm like, why not get somebody you can probably buy low and maybe sell high?
The finals proved that Cleveland's depth is not as bad as people thought it was, but they just ran out of they ran out of so many guys, that it just became a problem for them. Do you think that adding depth is the right way to go here?
Yes.
Okay. They have the number 53 pick as well. So what do you do there? Do you stash somebody or do you try to get another body?
Oh, you can get another body. You could get – there are, overachieve, NBA college guys who are good, productive college guys who, don't really have NBA homes, but you could fit a few minutes into them.
What about Chase and Randall from Stanford, scoring point guard?
There you go.
Yeah, we'll just that's just an out of left field one, but I'll just go with that one. I think Stanford won the NIT with Chase and Randall and Anthony Brown, another guy that you mentioned. And if you remember, the guy that they had on that team the year before that when they went to the Sweet 16 was Dwight Powell, who I think is now playing. He was playing in Boston at first, right, and then he got traded to the Mavericks in the Rondo deal. So it was a pretty talented team, and that was really the top player that they had scoring wise. So maybe Randall will be a nice backup to Irving in case Irving's injuries start to kind of resurface, which is very likely. Now we go with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now the Grizzlies need a shooter. They need a 3-point shooter. But I don't know if they even want a three-point shooter. They're so set in their ways. They like they like big guys. They like to have a defensive mindset. They like underdog type of prospects. What do you see on this one? Like maybe a Dakari Johnson out of Kentucky, maybe Montrezl Harrell from Louisville.
RJ Hunter is just a perfect fit for them. That's the problem.
Okay.
If they just get out, maybe they just realize, look, we're exposed. We need somebody.
Well, this is like a question on draft philosophy. Is drafting is it meant to fill a need, or is it meant to get better at things that you're not good at? Let me rephrase that. Is it meant to fill a need, or is it meant to strengthen what you're already good at?
Well, that's either or. And, you know, the problem with Memphis is they're already set with their starting five. So
okay.
You're either going to go, like I said, one of your big guys or.
But if you get a three-point shooter, you're saying, okay, this is our three-point shooter. You're, like, putting him on the spot.
Yeah, but that's what a three-point shooter is supposed to do.
Okay. So you want RJ Hunter here out of Georgia State.
It just might be this might be the time Hollinger just goes, look, this is what we need. This is why we lost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they don't really do much to the draft anyways.
Yeah.
And
they don't need athleticism. I mean, look at Nick Calathes. Not a very athletic player. Beno Udrich the same. But they still make it work because their half-court offense is so predictable that it's pretty easy to run. But defensively, you have to work hard. That's the one thing that Jaeger asks for. You have to work hard on defense. If not, you're not going to play. You know, it's the same way with Brad Stevens in general with his guys at Boston. You got to play hard.
Yep.
They know only one way. That is their only pick. So the next one moving on is actually another team from the Southwest Division, and that is the former world champion San Antonio Spurs. They actually have two picks, the number 26 pick and the number 55 pick. I got a good feeling that at number 55, they're going to probably stash a guy. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way and go backwards here.
George DePaula.
George DePaula, the Brazilian point guard. Pretty good. Okay. And then at 26. Now, last year they took Kyle Anderson. I think they have plans for him. What do you see here?
Oh, I had George DePaula at 26.
Oh, you had him at 26?
Because that's what they do every year.
Oh, man.
Every year they take the best Euro available.
Yeah, they did that with Nando DeColo. That didn't work out so well.
Well, Nando DeColo also wasn't very good.
But George DePaula might not be any good.
But he might not be, but they did the same last year. They got some freshmen.
They need a backup point guard in case Parker gets hurt, and also because Patty Mills is not always reliable at the point guard position. So maybe you got a point there. And also DePaula, who's also has like I think some people had him named as George Lucas, which is kind of funny because I don't remember him creating the Star Wars trilogy. I'm sure he's heard that joke a million times in his lifetime if he was listed as George Lucas on some of these rosters. He measured out in the combine very tall for a point guard, almost like Michael Carter Williams like. So do you think he might be able to be effective in the NBA, kind of like Schroeder was?
Yeah, that Brazil is the new hotbed.
Mm-hmm. They got that other one in Utah, Raul Neto, who we haven't seen yet.
You know, a few years ago, it was Turkey was the hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's sort of split between Croatia and Brazil. So. And
Serbia, too. Serbia's doting out a lot of good players lately.
Mm-hmm.
So. And so we already made there. So you like DePaula there. And then at number 55, I think they're going to stash somebody there too. So now we're going to.
How about Guillermo Hernan Gomez?
We already have him gone.
How about.
He went to the Nuggets, that one. What about. Now we're just reaching here.
That one is Moussa Diagne from Senegal. Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get picked. I heard everywhere that he's definitely like on the radar to be picked in the draft. We just don't know where. So you like Moussa Diagne? Is he a big? He's a big, right?
Yeah, he's a big center.
Okay, so Moussa Dieng from the Senegal, so we'll go with him.
Round two. Name how many foreign players you can think of off the top of your head. Pretty much what, you know, just what it comes down to.
Well, the problem is, too, the second round is like a guaranteed one-year salary. Guaranteed. You know, so you got to imagine that some people are saying, I don't know if I want to put these people on my cap if they can't help me right away. So that's the mindset of a lot of these GMs when they pick the foreigners. They say, well, I'll take a guy that won't go against my cap, and if he works out for me in a couple of years when his club contract is up, then it's all gravy, you know?
Yeah, but as we've mentioned every year, you know, you do that, you draft this Thatcher guy, then all of a sudden, you know, you get an Isaiah Thomas who makes the last five foreign picks look stupid.
Yes, yeah. Or you can get a Nikola Mirotic, who you take a chance on and then wait 2 or 3 years, and then he comes over, and you sign him to, like, what max – and you already talked about this, like, max, like, $6 million a year coming away – going. You know, getting out of his Euro contract, and then he winds up being something good. So, you know, you can go both ways with it. You just got to either be patient, or you just got to know what you're getting, you know.
All comes down to good scouting and good.
Yeah, and the Spurs have some of the best. Dave Tellup, who used to be their, like, the high school recruiting coordinator for ESPN, he's one of the main recruiters now for the Spurs. So he's got a pretty good eye, so I think there's a chance they might go Euro with both of these. Next, we have the Brooklyn Nets. I almost said it again. The Brooklyn Nets at number 29 when they swap picks with the Atlanta Hawks. So they could really pick anybody and get better because I think they have needs at pretty much all their positions. So what do you see there?
Well, who's left?
Well,
you got the two Louisville kids.
You got Dakari Johnson at Kentucky.
He's not going in the first.
You don't think
he
so?
He is not going in the first. Garen.
You have Alexander Vezenkov from Bulgaria at the small forward spot. You have Rashad Vaughn at UNLV. And you have I think that we're reaching now.
Did Harrell get picked?
Not yet.
There we go. Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell. The L is silent.
Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl for Shazel. His offense is okay. Physically, he's just big. You know, I remember watching him in the when he played against Kentucky in the Yum Center in Louisville, and he fit right against them. I mean, he was the only guy really fighting inside against them, and they went to the Elite Eight, lost in overtime to Michigan State, and he's just a big dude. He's strong too. But the problem is offensively, he's so narrow minded. All it is alley oops, dunks, and garbage putbacks. He has no offensive game outside of about 5 feet. So, and defensively, he gets in foul trouble constantly. And that was just in college. You know, I don't know what he could do in the NBA immediately. He's going to be kind of like Ed Davis. He's going to have to really work at it.
Which, you know, considering they have a lot of questions with Thaddeus Young and Brook Lopez opting out, this might not be, you know, get some size.
Yeah, I think Lopez will stay. I don't know about Thad Young. That one might – he might be gone. You know, he might be gone. But if they keep him, you know, Harrell's not a bad pick either. So we'll just kind of go with that one. Number 41 might be able to find something there. What do you see? Or what do you think they could help themselves with? Maybe like a guy like Anthony Brown, a small forward who can handle the ball.
Anthony Brown from
Stanford.
Okay, he could, you know, they could do him. They could get somebody who's, Teron Pettaway.
The small forward out of Nebraska. Okay. Put up good points. He put up good numbers there. The problem was Nebraska underachieved because they went to the tournament in 2014. People were expecting them to do well, and they didn't. And so Pettaway
he's just a player who just, you know. He was just at, you know, not a good program, not somebody, you know, to come, but he can provide some of that sort of an, you know.
He's got an ability to make shots in the mid-range. That's one thing I'll give Pett away.
He has a mid-range shot with, you know, Bogdanovich and the other, you know, Euro with potential injury problems. Mm-hmm. Might not be a bad, you know, get a small forward in there.
They need an infusion of youth. So I think it is important for them that they do use these two picks on college players, American college players, because I think they need guys that could come in and play as soon as possible. I mean, they were at a point where they had to play Markell Brown and Corey Jefferson, their two second-round picks last year, because they were just in such a need for bodies. You know, I think they need to use these picks. I'm not saying it's like the most vital class at 29 and 41, but they need guys that can help them right away, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
Then we've got the Golden State Warriors, who, to be honest, probably don't really need anything. Do they need anything?
No, but both the LSU guys have been picked, right?
They're gone. Yeah, okay. They actually went into the, like, early in the second round. Martin went 32nd, and Mickey went, I believe, a little bit later than that. Let me see.
That's fine, as long as they both got... Because I'm trying to think, who did we – obviously we missed one or two people.
Here's what we got here, okay? Rashad Vaughn is still there at UNLV. Okay, that's a shooting guard. So at best, he'd back up Klay Thompson.
Well, then there you go. He's the only one who's left, really.
Yeah, you got Des Wells at Maryland, who's a slasher, basically. Paul Zipser from Germany, a power forward. We still got Dakari Johnson, who you say will not go in the first round. I don't know why. and then you got Aaron White at Iowa.
Second rounder.
Anthony Brown at Stanford. Jonathan Holmes at Texas. I've seen him in a couple.
That was going to be my – that's why I was trying to say, like, who do we miss? Because that was going to be my sneaky pick.
Okay. Do you like Holmes, Jonathan Holmes there?
Yes. I think he's a fit there.
Like, just in case Iguodala either gets injured or gets moved.
Well, don't forget, he's also getting older.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the player he once was, and, you know, he is sort of a spot guy off the bench.
Yeah, and he can play small forward in the NBA. He does have that ability. He's got the size. I think he's at about 6'8". So he'll be able to come in and help him out a little bit. I think it's a damning of Rick Barnes, once again, on the way out, that he had two first-rounders on this Texas team, and he could not get out of the first round. You know, Rick Barnes, what a man.
Well, it's just every year. There's always just disappointment that comes from
that. Is
he
the most disappointing college coach in the history of the game?
I don't know the history, but recent memory.
Like, who's done less with more? Ben Howland?
Maybe? I was going to say UCLA puts out...
I mean, they did go to the championship game and then two Final Fours after that, but dude, you had Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, Darren Collison, Aaron Aflalo, and Jordan Farmar.
Well, now you're getting, you know, Muhammad and...
Kyle Anderson.
Looney, Anderson, Powell, Brooklyn. And you're still doing nothing.
I mean, well, that's Steve Alford. You got to blame Alford for that one.
Okay.
Well, they went to the Sweet 16, but, I mean...
But is really the Sweet 16 anything?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But no, that was sort of my, like, I was trying to find, like, one sneaky little second-round guy.
That's a good sneaky one, because I've seen him slip into the first round a couple of times. Just a time or two. So it wouldn't be completely sneaky. So this is going to be interesting, because now we have only one pick left, and that is my New Orleans Pelicans. Now, at this point, we're going to talk about best available, because we do have a few left, okay? And here's what we got. At the shooting guard position, what we have left here, we have Rashad Vaughn. I think that may have been a miscalculation for us. Vaughn will probably go in the first round somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he's way –
someone's going to dip. It's just the way it goes with our mock. You know, it's just how it happens. Rashad Vaughn, Mark Garcia from Spain, Aaron Harrison from Kentucky, Travion Graham from VCU, Des Wells from Maryland, Josh Richardson from Tennessee, Corey Hawkins from UC Davis, Ralston Turner from MC State. I don't think he's going to get picked. And then DJ Newble from Penn State. Point guard position, you got quite a few left. Quinn Cook at Duke, Travis Trice at Michigan State, Marcus Thornton from William & Mary, Trevor Lacey from NC State, Juwan Staten from West Virginia, TJ McConnell from Arizona, Ryan Boatwright at UConn, Kevin Pangos at Gonzaga. Most of the power forwards have been taken except for Aaron White, Paul Zipser, Arturis Gudatis from Lithuania, Tyshawn Thomas from Oklahoma, Larry Nance Jr. from Wyoming. And then at the center spot, you still have Dakari Johnson. You've got Satnam Singh from India, Alan Williams from UC Santa Barbara. And then that's really it there. So that's pretty much your best available. You just take a shot at it and tell me what you think the Pelicans are going to do here.
Well, there's no way we should just eliminate Wood or Vaughn.
Yeah.
Because that was just, he's going to go in the first round.
For example, it wouldn't shock me if the Spurs just took Vaughn and DePaula dropped somewhere else. You know?
Well, the Spurs took him, or even, you know, the Lakers or the Celtics with their second pick.
Exactly. So
could easily be, you know, because
it's not like we don't like Rashad Vaughn. It's just that while we were doing the picks, we kind of looked at needs, and he just didn't really fit anything immediately, you know. But this is a giant guessing game.
Yeah, that, and also we did, you know, parts in part one, teams that bleed over and have multiple picks, and it's just, you know. That, you know, obviously he's going first round. Dakari Johnson, yeah, there you go. There's your big man replacing Omar Sheik.
Yeah, Dakari Johnson. I don't think he's going to go that low. You and I disagree there. I think he's going to go first because he's a center. You know, even though he doesn't have any offensive game, and
he doesn't have any skill whatsoever.
His percentage body fat's not very good. But I think he's a center. He played at Kentucky, and that's it. It's almost like reputation, you know, speaks for itself. You know, you get picked. I mean, Daniel Orton got picked in the first round because he was a center out of Kentucky.
Yeah, and then they quickly learned how bad of a pick that was.
Yeah. Or would Dakari Johnson be a bad pick, though, if the Pelicans took him?
The second round, no, because that's where he slotted to go.
Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be taking care of that. So we already talked about the lottery, and here's who we have at the second half of the first round. At number 15, we have the Hawks taking Kelly Oubre from Kansas. At 16, the Celtics take Bobby Portis from Arkansas. At 17, Trey Lyles from Kentucky. The Rockets take Tyus Jones from Duke. The Wizards take Frank Kaminsky from Wisconsin. At number 20, the Raptors take Kevon Looney from UCLA. At the number 21 position, the Mavericks take DeLon Wright from Utah. At number 22, the Bulls take Justin Anderson from Virginia. At number 23, the Blazers take Rondae Hollis-Jefferson from Arizona. And at 24, the Cavs take Robert Upshaw from Washington. At 25, the Grizz take R.J. Hunter from Georgia State. At 26, the Spurs take George DePaula from Brazil. At 27, the Lakers take Terry Rozier from Louisville. At 28, the Boston Celtics take Christian Wood from UNLV. At 29, the Nets take Montrezl Harrell from Louisville. And at number 30, the Golden State Warriors take Jonathan Holmes out of Texas. So, do you have any second thoughts there on any of those?
I can see Upshaw being swapped off for Vaughn.
Yeah, and Upshaw dips into the second round early.
Yeah. Dips an Upshaw, or even if Golden State could take him.
Like, we had Rakeem Christmas at 33. I would not be shocked if Christmas didn't get picked at all.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me at all, you know, but it's just a basic. It's just draft basics in the second round. Like, look here. This is the order of the second round. You know, Jordan Mickey, Jarrell Martin, Rakeem Christmas, Cliff Alexander, Chris McCullough, Sade Osman, Michael Qualls, Joseph Young, J.P. Tokoto, Pat Connaughton, Teron Pettaway, Michael Frazier II, Muhammad Jatai, Norman Powell out of UCLA. I almost said Dwight Powell. RJ – oh, no, that's Vince Hunter, right, that the Boston Celtics take out.
Yeah.
Milutinov, whose name I can't pronounce. Mitrovic. Then you have Rashawn Holmes, Olivier Hanlon, Brandon Ashley, Tyler Harvey, Chris Walker, Chasen Randall, Timothy Luwawu, and then Diang. And then at the end part, you got here Dakari Johnson, Guillermo Hernan Gomez, LaDante Henton, and then Kiefer Sykes, and then Alpha Kaba. So
first, is it safe we could just trade Upshaw for Vaughn, and everybody seems to be in the right position?
Yeah, we can go ahead and just say Rashad Vaughn to Cleveland if you want to just.
Okay, that it seems that one makes a little more sense then.
Yeah, And then what I, you know, what I might do if we could get away with it, we could probably take Jatai and trade and change that to Upshaw. But you know what?
We'll okay, just, that's yeah. Well, that's second round, but no. Like, the first round, all the names seem to be there. There's not like you don't hear too many like, oh, he's gonna sneak in. It seems like everybody who's there is there.
What first round? What late first rounder do we have here that you think might really wind up being something good?
Well, the way we drafted it and the way we've been, you know, everybody's sort of like clamoring it like fantasy style would be obviously RJ Hunter at Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, well, you need it. This is what your missing piece is.
I think Tyus Jones might be the missing piece for the Houston Rockets.
Tyus Jones can go on like five teams and be an overachiever.
Yes. I think he's just built that way. Anything here that we picked where you might think this might not work out for them in the first round? Even if it's a high pick.
Justice Winslow at Denver.
Okay. I would probably go with Porzingis in Orlando. I don't know if that's gonna work out well.
Porzingis in Orlando. Yeah, there's
That's the one I'm worried about the most, because anytime there's a big Euro that gets a lot of praise, I worry, because I'm just not sure what I'm in for, you know.
Yeah, but to be fair, the Euros have gotten praise haven't been too many lately. People have gotten wise to them.
And give me a second round pick that we had that you think might really that we will see in the NBA next season more than a couple of times.
Okay, I'm going to answer for you, and you're going to say Dakari Johnson.
No, I wasn't.
yeah, because he's a first rounder.
I think he is. I think for me personally, I think we're going to see Pat Connaughton if he plays in somewhere like Miami. Joseph Young for the where do we have him slotted at?
Detroit.
Detroit. That's a solid one. I thought that was a steal, to be honest. And also maybe Michael Qualls. I think if he wound up somewhere like Philadelphia, Minnesota, maybe the Charlotte Hornets, I think we might see him a little bit. But that's going to be wrapping up our NBA draft preview. Is this your first one?
One last question.
Uh-huh.
Who's the rookie of the year?
Hmm.
It's not so clear-cut as the preview. We missed the most obvious question.
Well, I don't know how obvious it is with this draft, because it all depends on where you go. Like, say, for example, Okafor goes to, like, Philadelphia. I don't know how much he would play, you know, or how much time he would get. You know, whereas if he goes to L.A., I think he's going to get a lot of playing time at the center spot. I think just because I think it'll be D'Angelo Russell if he goes to the Sixers. I think he's going to get he's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. I think that's a big part of it. What do you think?
I'm going to go, if the Knicks make the playoffs, it'll be Moutier. If they don't, it'll be Okafor.
What about Cauley-Stein if he averages double-digit rebounds?
No, because he's not going to average double-digit points.
Okay.
You know, he could be averaging 15 boards, but he'll be averaging 6 points.
What are the chances of anyone after the top five getting the Rookie of the Year award? Now, Michael Carter-Williams did it, but what about this year? I'm looking at the different fits here, like Cameron Payne, Kelly Oubre, Trey Lyles, Tyus Jones, Justin Anderson, maybe DeLon Wright, you know, guys like that.
Because the teams are too.
Their roster is so deep already that they don't.
Their roster is deep. They don't think of that. The only reason Carter Williams won because the coach said, we don't care. Shoot as much as you want. Get all the stats you need. You know, once you even start getting to Cameron Payne and down, you're not having all your minutes. You know, it's really weird where you have an 11, 12, 13, 14, where your roster is essentially set.
Yes.
At the upper end of the lottery, or even near 10th. So, you know, you're only really looking at 9 players who might get lots of minutes, barring injuries.
best player in the draft period in the next 10 years.
Huh?
Who's the best player in the draft?
Right now?
No, down the road.
I might go with Moutier.
I think it's Okafor. Because of the center, because of how dominant he can be offensively in the center position.
I think so. Yeah, that's potentially yes, but if they keep going towards that, we want more stretch fives, then he might get marginalized a bit.
You know, but a throwback's not the worst thing in the world.
Throwback's not the worst thing if your team is built for it. Like, let's say the Wizards are built for the throwback team.
But if you're a terrible team like these guys, you can build around it. You know, it's not hard. It's not as hard.
I'm just saying, you know, right now you got, you know, Moutier is going to come in with Carmelo at the tail end of his prime, and then once Carmelo starts dipping, he could come up, and if, you know, they're going to spend to get talent around him, so.
I don't know why. I'm not sure if you get the same feeling, but I just get that weird feeling about Willie Cauley-Stein that either he'll be a bust or he's going to be really, really good.
Well, the thing is, it was like, he's Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler, you know, oh, he was a $60 million guy, which now, you know, then it was 60, now it's going to be 100.
Well, what kind of career did Tyson Chandler have at the end of the day?
A very long one.
A really good one, though, right?
He had a good career, and it's not like, you know, Hall of Fame. It's not Hall of Fame numbers there. It's
probably
just,
not. Probably not.
You know, he'll get a ring, and he'll be very an anchor for years to come. It's just, you know, with him, you're now not going to have offense.
Okay. So that's going to be finishing up this. Did it any rough patches here with this draft? Maybe in 2016 when we have even worse players, which I guarantee you we'll have, maybe we'll do that. That'll be Ben Simmons, so we'll have a common cause because we're going to have an LSU guy probably go number one next year.
Well, we'll check back. We'll see how we did. We probably did horrible. Again, we forgot, you know, one or two people. Mm-hmm. But we did this kind of differently. We try to change it up as opposed to just doing a straight mock.
Yeah, exactly. Because straight mocks, it's harder to do because the teams, you keep repeating the same names and you sort of kind of get lost more easily. Well,
so the thing is, you read mocks, you're going off players. You're not going off teams. So how many player times do I see, oh, there's like, you know, another team with centers that go, well, let's draft a third center.
And you start convincing yourself, well, this player can't go this far down. It's like, no, these players go that far down all the time. You know, I remember Jared Sullinger went to the bottom of the first round, right? You know?
Yeah, Sullinger was up and down all the way, but it's just like, you'll see like, oh, Justice Winslow to the Kings. It's like, well, he's not a fit there, or
yeah,
you know, it's Moutier to Orlando. If Kristaps goes up, it's like, well, he's not a fit there. They don't need him, and
yeah,
obviously, okay, you'll draft him and then trade him, but
just because a player is better than one doesn't mean that, you know, as much as people don't believe it, drafting by need is what usually teams do. They don't usually go with best available unless they just don't have anything to lose, you know?
Well, the thing is with drafting with need, you know, we might have to go back and sort of look at this and be like, let's find some teams who didn't see how their careers went. But for the most part, it's just you're waiting for the first guy to go and he's a couple years away. So, like, you know, look at the we'll draft on talent as opposed to need. Let's look at the Saints. Oh, we got Ricky Williams. He's awesome. Oh, look, here's Deuce McAllister. He's pretty good. Okay, then that leaves the first guy eventually. Okay, we'll wait a couple years down the road. Now he's gone.
Yeah. It's not the worst idea to get a good player at a position that you're already established at because you just never know what's going to happen in the NBA. You might lose that guy to a trade. You might lose him to injury. You just don't know. So just because – now, I'm not trying to say the Sixers should take a Jahlil Okafor if he drops. That would be a little bit – that would be beyond insane. But maybe they'll do it, you know?
Well, if they're going to take him because he's top of the board. And again, like we just mentioned, you could just trade him. You could just flip him to a Dallas who'd be like, yo, we'll give you, you know, three number ones and Tyson Chandler.
One more question. Give me one veteran that you think we might hear get traded on draft day.
Caron Butler. Oh, wait. I'm here to get traded. I don't know. Roy Hibbert?
That's the one I was about to say. I think Roy Hibbert's going to get traded on draft day.
Roy Hibbert, maybe David Lee. You gotta pay Draymond Green. You're not gonna do that with Lee and Iguodala's contracts both there.
I was about to say no. You need an all star, but David Lee was an all star. But okay, sorry, Roy Hibbert, but you're probably gone.
Well, I named a couple names, you know, we never know.
Yeah, I mean, because it could be anybody. It could be somebody going into a player option, like a Monte Ellis. It could be anybody, you know? You never know. But, all right, that's going to be finishing up this draft preview. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and...
Oh, here's another name. Jameer Nelson. Backup veteran point guards are a very high commodity, or very high value, so... He's not going to stay in Denver, so... Why not, you know, he's a name that could be moved. Why not go for him?
Because he can't play anymore.
But he didn't just play 15 minutes.
In Denver.
No, he's not going to be in Denver, but he could be somewhere like maybe in Oklahoma City.
Well, Oklahoma City needs some help, so maybe you're right. But okay, I think we're gone here. I'm exhausted. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, guys.